You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
We worked for British companies and other companies from around the world who invested in China or traded in China. We helped them to investigate fraud allegations inside their businesses and to investigate the background of prospective business partners and counterparties to help them avoid fraud. That was our job. It was a benign and necessary part of the business community's life. And because of this, we got drawn into a case where we were investigating innocently somebody who had an agenda. And this person found out about our investigation and mobilized her friends within the police and the judiciary and the Shanghai government to throw us into jail, basically, to keep us quiet and shut us up and prevent us from publishing what we'd founded.
And eventually you were released because you were ill, and when you came back to this country, you were diagnosed with cancer.
That's correct. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer very recently, and just this week began a two-year cancer treatment program for my disease. This disease should have been discovered or prevented if I had had the necessary medical attention while in captivity. 2 months after I was taken captive, a doctor in the detention center discovered that I had an enlarged prostate and recommended detailed investigation. But the officers of the prison and the police and the prosecution obstructed this further medical attention and blocked applications for bail on medical grounds.
What's the prognosis for you now?
Well, many men get this disease and survive it, so it has one of a relatively high cure rate among cancers. But you know, you're left with the anxiety and the burden of not knowing for about 2 years, because this program will take about 2 years before doctors can confidently say you're cured or sorry, you're not cured.
And yours is a shocking case, but it's more important than that on a personal level. It's hugely important for British businesses investing in China.
It is, and I mean, I think the case illustrates a number of points of concern. One is that the rule of law doesn't really exist in China, despite all the trumpeting of rule of law.
That's a big statement.
It is constantly violated because law in China is basically manipulated by people with powerful connections. You know, if you don't like someone, or if somebody has offended you, and you've got connections within the municipal police organization, you can have that person arrested. You can have them thrown in jail. You can push them through the court system. You can deny them all access to defense material. You can prevent them from presenting defense witnesses in court and so on. You can sew them up royally.
That is corruption on a That's corruption on a massive scale.
I believe it's corruption too. I mean, we talk about corruption more generally as something where bribes and money are involved, but actually what I've just described is a very serious type of corruption, which is perverting the progress of justice in China, and it goes completely against the grain, completely against President Xi Jinping's judicial reform program.
But surely there are people who are fighting it?
I believe there are, but unfortunately we see that some of those who are fighting it, and maybe we don't need to use the word fighting, but some of those who are working for it, unfortunately they also end up being thrown in jail, such as a number of prominent Chinese lawyers recently who've been working to defend their clients' rights.
So what you're saying is, if you're going to invest in China, do business in China, be aware that the law may not necessarily protect you.
I think that's true. And, you know, you take my case, or you take the case of Neil Hayward, who was murdered several years ago, and you take many other cases. There was an American businesswoman recently. These cases all show that nobody is safe in China. No business and no person is safe in China from manipulation and abuse of the law.
So I wonder
how... So we have to go into China very wide open to eyes, be prepared to lose your shirt, and a lot more than that.
I wonder how you react then to the sorts of scenes we've seen in London during the past few days of the president here.
I'm afraid it looks as though some elements of our establishment here have thrown caution to the wind completely in their dealings with China, and they're not considering the risks involved.
You're referring to the Chancellor, Mr. Osborne?
I think there's not only the chance for Mr. Osborne, who's lost sight of the realities in China, but it's also many other elements of our government.
On the other hand, you'd accept we can't ignore China. We must do business with China. It's massively rich and powerful and important.
Nobody can ignore China.
But
you have to go into China with a lot of protection. If you're going to do business in China, you need to know, for example, the background of the companies and people you're dealing with. You need to have protective mechanisms in place inside your business to control and prevent fraud. And unfortunately, what happened to us was basically a crackdown against that kind of prevention. From the day of our detention, it became impossible for any due diligence company to go beyond desktop research. They can't go around knocking on doors anymore, interviewing people, visiting factories, visiting companies, to find out the real background and what's going on in a company or what's going on with a transaction conducted by one of their own employees. They can't do that anymore. They're all afraid. Many people have left that line of business completely, and the companies that are still doing it, they do it in the rest of the world that way, but they can't do it that way in China anymore, so no clients can be safe.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.